Top Deep Radio.
TopDeepRadio.blogspot.com.
Subversive music for dangerous times.
This is Al Jazeera.
A day after Israel's attack on aid ships heading to Gaza, some of the activists on board have been deported to their home countries. And Israel is now reported to be releasing all other foreigners. With the deportations come reports that Israeli commandos use stun guns and beat the activists. Many of them were Turkish, and the Turkish Prime Minister has delivered a critical speech to Parliament accusing Israel of a bloody massacre. Despite anger around the world, Israel's blockade of Gaza remains firmly in place. But Egypt has opened the Rafah crossing into the Strip. Jackie Rowland reports.
Taking the lead in the international outcry against Israel, the Turkish Prime Minister addresses his country's parliament. Turkey paid the largest cost in human life during the attack on the convoy, and his anger is tangible.
Israel should understand the seriousness of such mistakes and not repeat them. Yesterday's event was a black point in history. This was an inhuman attack. Even pirates have rules that they follow. Israel violated international law. This is a position that should be punished.
But Israel claims that this was a defensive operation, and it said it acted within its rights boarding the ships, regardless of the fact that they were not in Israeli territorial waters.
It's a very commonplace action in armed conflict to impose a blockade. The enforcement of the blockade can actually take place also in international waters if there is a clear intention on the part of a vessel that it aims to breach the blockade.
The task for Israel now, crisis management. The activists on board the ships have been detained or deported. Any video testimonies have been confiscated. And the Israeli public relations machine has gone into overdrive. Israeli television aired interview with two of the commandos, now apparently injured, who took part in the raid. This man said the commandos came to talk to the activists, but they were attacked by a mob as soon as they landed on deck. He said using weapons was a last resort, only when the commandos felt their lives were threatened. Passengers who were on the ship give a different version of events. They say the fighting that took place was an act of self-defense in the face of a military attack by Israel.
The message of this intensive forces was not to stop, but to deter any further initiatives, any coming initiatives. It is clear for the Israeli that this was a successful flotilla, and the siege upon Gaza is a strategic policy. It is not the flotilla issue. It's again the siege upon Gaza.
The UN Security Council has called for a thorough, impartial investigation. But it seems that the international community will not be involved. The United States has given Israel the green light to investigate itself, which must call into question the eventual conclusions. Jackie Rowland, Al Jazeera, Jerusalem.
Well, another aid ship is now sailing towards Gaza, vowing it too will test the Israeli blockade. Shuli Ghosh is in Jerusalem, where the Israeli government says the blockade will continue.
Here in Israel, the government has been involved in a massive damage limitation exercise. There's been a lot of criticism, not just internationally, but domestically, internally, in some sections of the media, about the way the operation was carried out. Not, by and large, the fact that it was carried out in the first place, because much of the Israeli population backed the government's position on the blockade of Gaza, but the fact that it was carried out in a way which has caused such damage to Israel's reputation, so much so that there have been calls in some parts of the media for the resignation of the defense minister, Ehud Barak. Now, Benjamin Netanyahu has cut short his visit to Canada. He came back to Israel. He stepped off the plane. He went straight into a high-level security emergency meeting with his top ministers. And he has come out and said that despite the international condemnation, the blockade on Gaza will continue. As far as the Israeli government is concerned, Hamas is a terrorist organization, and that blockade is in place for its security. But it remains to be seen whether his resolve will continue when another Gaza aid ship arrives in the region as early as tomorrow. The merchant vessel Rachel Corrie is due in these waters. The Israeli government has said that they will not allow it to head towards Gaza. But of course, it will be well aware of the international condemnation that followed its raid on the flotilla. Shuli Ghosh for Al Jazeera in Jerusalem.
As the calls for Israel to lift its blockade of Gaza become louder, Egypt has opened its border crossing with the Strip. Officials say the gates will be open for 3 days from Wednesday, but earlier hundreds of Palestinians arrived at the crossing. The move is being seen as an attempt by Egypt to deflect criticism for its role in imposing the blockade. Nicole Johnson sent this report from the crossing.
There are hundreds of Palestinians gathered here at the Rafah crossing, the main crossing to get into Egypt. And the reason they're here is because Egypt has announced that the Rafah crossing will be open for 3 days. So the people here hope to go into Egypt on Wednesday. The reason they haven't been able to cross on Tuesday is because there's been a general strike in Gaza, a strike in solidarity for the activists who've been detained from the flotilla. Also in the borders very close to here, 5 truckloads of aid from the flotilla are waiting on the Israeli side. Now, these truckloads should go into Gaza at some point, but Hamas, the deposed government that controls the strip here, is waiting to hear from the donors, the people who donated the aid, about whether they agree to allow the aid into Gaza. Hamas doesn't want to take responsibility for the aid because they believe that this aid has been tainted with blood. Nicole Johnston in Gaza.
Ayman Mahodin has been at Ashdod port following the arrival of the ships with their cargo of humanitarian aid for Gaza. Journalists were given a tour by the Israeli military.
Well, the Israeli military has brought us to the port of Ashdod to show us exactly what was on all the ships that came in from Turkey. And here you can see a box full of clothes. Everything that we have seen on these crates so far has been humanitarian in nature. We've seen clothes, we've seen textbook, children, toys, wheelchairs, and some crutches. In this particular crate, you can see there have been some school books and textbooks and materials. We've had a chance to speak to some of the Israeli officials here, and we've asked them if they had found any weapons on the ship. So far, they say they have not found any weapons to support the claims made by Israeli officials yesterday that there were indeed weapons on board. In fact, there were premeditated plans to carry out an attack of some sort. Nonetheless, the Israeli government says that it will deliver all of these supplies into Gaza after originally saying that there were no humanitarian shortages in the Gaza Strip. Now they are saying they are going to deliver all of these supplies as quickly as possible. Ayman Mohideen, Al Jazeera, Ashdod.
Well, peace activists, members of national parliaments, retired diplomats and journalists. Some are still in custody. Many have returned home to their countries of origin. But all tell a story similar to this man. They were members of a peaceful convoy attacked without provocation. Hassan Nawara of Glasgow says he sustained his injuries in a beating by Israelis after he was detained.
Out of the blue, all I can hear is screaming and bullets all over the place on top of Marmara. And there's the Turkish ship and the helicopters on top, and they're droning soldiers. And as you can see, is screaming and fires and bullets, really time bullets. And out of the blue, we just looked around our ship. All I can see is hundreds of Zodiacs.
They tried to take my camera, and I refused, and they stuck me, touched me with the stake, electric, I think, and I already shocked, but I didn't fall my camera. Then his friend, they pushed me a big shot, they gave me a big shot in my arm, then it broke, and the camera is falling down, and he broke my camera with his big foot.
We felt like we're in a war. We felt kidnapped. We returned with what I'm wearing here. I only have my passport with me. This violates every international law, just like the blockade of Gaza and Palestine is against international law.
But Turkey is one of the countries leading the call for Israel to be punished for its actions. 380 of the people on board the flotilla were Turkish. They've started returning home with eyewitness accounts of Israel's military operation. And their stories have further fueled the anger in Turkey. Indeed, the Turkish ambassador was withdrawn from Tel Aviv, and the countries must be very close to severing diplomatic relations. Mike Hanna is in Istanbul for us, where they're protesting late into the evening. And there's obviously considerable anger where you are.
Well, certainly, Stephen, it's now 11:15 local time, and thousands of people have been coming into the area outside the Israeli consulate in the business district of Istanbul. Earlier, there were not that many, but as the evening's gone on, more and more have come in here shouting protest chants, expressing their support for the Palestinian cause and condemning Israel in the strongest possible terms. Now, earlier in the evening, there was an emergency meeting of the country's National Security Council. This is a very clear reflection of how seriously the government views this situation. Also in Parliament, very strong speeches from the country's leaders, very critical of Israel indeed. But no matter how angry those speeches in Parliament, they were really a pale reflection of the intensity of the anger out in the streets.
Young boys take time off from school to have their say. Gathered outside the headquarters of the body that organized the Gaza flotilla, they chant anti-Israeli slogans and messages of support for the Turkish Humanitarian Foundation, or IHH. This is also the debriefing center for those activists arrested on the vessels and subsequently deported from Israel. This group had touched down in Turkey just over an hour before, and this man had a clear view of events on the Mavi Marmara from the ship that was following. The experience still fresh.
I was watching things unfold from the bow of our ship. Helicopters and inflatable attack boats approached the Mavi Marmara, and we started hearing explosions.
And contempt for what he said was a ridiculously large number of Israelis that conducted the interrogation process before deportation.
Israel is a state of fear. God has given them fear. There were 20 of us and 250 of them. They're scared of humanity, and they are really scared of Muslims.
Demonstrations continued outside the Israeli consulate in the business district. The police on standby to prevent a reoccurrence of an overnight attack. The broken windows evidence of the crowd's anger. Anger manifest also among those who are merely passing by.
This isn't an attack on Islam or Turkey. This is an attack on humanity. And it's these people's right to protest against such a crime. And I totally support what is taking place here today.
And Turkey continues to weigh its response to the Israeli action. The country's National Security Council called an emergency session. The accord between Israel and Turkey clearly shattered, but there could be even greater consequences far beyond. The question, how will events impact on the relationship between Israel's strongest supporter, the United States, and its most powerful Muslim ally? What started out as an attempt to highlight the ongoing Israeli siege of Gaza could end in a shift in the balance of power in the region as a whole.
Like Mr. Erdogan was genuinely angry, or he seemed genuinely angry today. He urged Israelis to hold their government to account. How lasting is this damage between the countries likely to be?
Well, it does look as though it's very long-lasting indeed, Stephen. This is something that has been building for a period of time. The event of the last few days, the culmination of a process of deterioration in relations between Israel and Turkey. Now, this has been partly because of the policies of the Erdogan government. It's also been partly, or largely from Turkey's point of view, because of actions by Israel, beginning with that war in Gaza some 18 months ago, something that angered Turkey exceedingly deeply, particularly as it came months after Turkey had been involved in mediation efforts between Israel and Syria. But the intensity of the anger following the past few days' events is something that has not been seen before. And the point that is being underlined here by the crowd, by the country's leaders, is that it's not just about supporting a Palestinian cause. The way the country views the situation is that Israel attacked one of its vessels, it took its citizens captured. The real reason, the fundamental root cause of this intense anger is that Turkey feels insulted and it feels that Israel has abrogated its national sovereignty. And that is something that will take a very long time to heal, if at all, Stephen.
And indeed, Mike, the irony is that Turkey has been one of Israel's longest trade and military partners in the Middle East. Indeed, Turkey at one stage was considered perhaps Israel's main friend in the Muslim world. And that is damaging to Israel, isn't it?
Well, very much indeed. There's another element that has come into this, which is reflected in the flags that we've seen around here. Now, traditionally, Turkey has not been particularly supportive of the Arab, of the Palestinian cause, and certainly its relations with the Arab world as a whole has, in the past, been generally lukewarm. There's been serious problems between the Arab world and Turkey. What we are seeing here tonight, though, in a way, is an Arabization of Turkish culture. The flags that we are seeing around, Palestinian flags, flags of Hamas, flags of Hezbollah, are being waved all around. We hear from the speakers on the podium who 10 years ago would have thought that they would hear cries of Islam from the Levant. That is the business district that I'm standing in at the moment. So what one is seeing as well is a radical shift in the nature of Turkish society, which is being clarified because of the actions of Israel, and that shift is moving further away from Israel, closer towards Israel's traditional enemies, and in that, Israel is facing the greatest danger, possibly, that it has in many years, and ironic, as you said, that this is emerging from the country that was its closest ally in this region.
Mike, we'll leave it there. Mike Hanna in Istanbul, thank you. Anger at Israel's attack continues to prompt demonstrations around the world. In Yemen, tens of thousands took to the streets of the capital Sana'a. The demonstrators are demanding Israel lift the blockade on Gaza. Speakers told those gathered it was the responsibility of every Muslim and human on the planet to condemn the raid. Demonstrations too in the world's most populous Muslim country, Indonesia. Hundreds of people staged a rally in the center of the capital, Jakarta, to condemn Israel's actions. Officials say the 12 Indonesians traveling on the Gaza-bound convoy are safe. Australians added their voice to the condemnation. Thousands gathered in Melbourne, Sydney and the capital, Canberra, to show solidarity with the Palestinian people. The country's foreign minister described the violence as deplorable. The U.S. wants Israel to carry out its own investigation into the deaths. The American deputy ambassador to the U.N. says he's confident Israel will conduct a credible and impartial inquiry. But many suspect it will exonerate its forces of any wrongdoing. Let's look at some previous inquiries. Well, in 2002, eyewitnesses said Italian freelance photographer Rafael Siriello was killed by Israeli gunfire in the West Bank. The Israeli army's investigation concluded there was no evidence anyone fired in his direction. In January 2003, the British activist Thomas Herndl was shot in the head by an Israeli army sniper in Gaza, and he died 9 months later. Israel convicted the sniper of manslaughter in 2005 and sentenced him to 8 years imprisonment, but the military police report which led to the trial was never made public. In March 2003, the American activist Rachel Corrie was run over by an Israeli army bulldozer while trying to stop homes being demolished in Gaza. The Israeli investigation was never released. The autopsy claimed Rachel was not killed by the advancing bulldozer and the army was acquitted. In May 2003, the British filmmaker James Miller was shot dead by an Israeli soldier in Rafah. An Israeli investigation concluded the soldier suspected of firing the shot would not be indicted. In April 2008, the Palestinian journalist Fadel Shana and 8 other civilians were killed by Israeli tank fire in Gaza. Israel refused to conduct an inquiry and took no action against the tank crew. Well, speaking in the last couple of hours, the U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton says the situation needs to be treated carefully.
Ultimately, the solution to this conflict must be found through an agreement based on a two-state solution negotiated between the parties. This incident underscores the urgency of reaching this goal, and we remain committed to working with both sides to move forward these negotiations. I think the situation from our perspective is very difficult and requires careful, thoughtful responses from all concerned.
Radio Santa Cruz, 101 FM, freakradio.org, Pop Defect Radio. We're doing special coverage on the Middle East situation that's going on with the Freedom Flotilla boat being attacked by the Israeli military. Let's go back to just the other day when it all started, Sunday night, I believe. You're going to hear the first story from Al Jazeera. I got a whole bunch of Al Jazeera English news stories. You could go to aljazeera.net/English to read more, to read all the latest stories. Today there is going to be a protest in San Francisco Bay Area. Emergency protest today, June 1st at 4:30 p.m. at the Israeli Consulate, 456 Montgomery Street in San Francisco. So again, protesters, actually yesterday there were protests out in San Francisco. There's a major one today, tonight. Again, 4:30 p.m. Israeli Consulate, 456 Montgomery Street here in San Francisco. Locally, what's going on? There's also protests been going on in Indonesia and Turkey, Yemen, Malaysia, Australia, Istanbul, of course. And, of course, San Francisco at 4:30 if you want to make it out there. Again, San Francisco emergency protest today, Israeli Consulate, 456 Montgomery Street, San Francisco. Let's hear the very first story that was reported on the situation here. Free Radio 101 FM, freakradio.org. Stay tuned.
People have been killed after Israeli soldiers stormed a flotilla of aid ships bound for the Gaza Strip. There's been widespread international condemnation of the violence. Zeina Awad reports.
The Israeli soldiers stormed the aid convoy's mothership Mavi Marmara under cover of darkness as the ship maneuvered in international waters. The outcome was deadly. The injured, wearing their life jackets, received urgent medical attention on board. Chaos and confusion among the 600 passengers as the night raid unfolded.
Mavi Marmara, you are approaching an area of hostilities.
Earlier, Israeli forces had reportedly warned the convoy not to proceed further or it would be intercepted. This material was provided to the media after the incident. An Israeli spokesperson said Israeli soldiers had been attacked on board and they acted in self-defense. But an Al Jazeera producer aboard the ship saw the activists raise a white flag at the beginning of the raid and said there was no evidence of live fire coming from the passengers. Eyewitnesses traveling with the aid convoy said they were raided 65 kilometers off the coast, well outside the 20-kilometer territorial limit Israel has imposed. Thousands took to the streets in the Turkish capital Ankara as news of the assault came out. A Turkish foreign ministry spokesperson said the raid could lead to, quote, irreparable damage in bilateral ties between the two countries. In Istanbul, a crowd tried to storm the Israeli consulate, but riot police cordoned off the surrounding streets. The injured were taken to hospitals in Israel, while the six ships in the convoy stayed under armed Israeli escort. And in Israel proper, police and army were put on high alert. Zeina Awad, Al Jazeera.
Death on the high seas. Under cover of darkness, Israeli special forces descending upon the Mavi Marmara as it made its way through international waters heading towards Gaza. but it was not meant to be, as the Israeli raid turned deadly, with soldiers opening fire with live ammunition on those aboard. Those injured received medical attention on board, but for others it was simply too late. These images show the chaos and confusion that ensued in those deadly minutes as the raid unfolded.
Mavi Marmara, you are approaching an area of hostilities.
Israeli forces had warned the cargo vessel not to proceed towards Gaza or at risk being intercepted. The military said its forces opened fire in self-defense and had been attacked once they boarded the ship to commandeer it away to Israel. But an Al Jazeera producer aboard the ship saw the activists raise a white flag and described those first few minutes.
The organizers on board the Mavi Marmara, after two people have been confirmed killed by the Israeli army, have now asked all the passengers to go inside. They've raised the white flag. This after Israeli commandos descended upon the ship in international water.
Contact with anyone on board has not been restored since those critical minutes when the raid began. Since then, Israel claims it was acting in self-defense. Israeli officials tried to paint those on board as terrorists and as Al-Qaeda sympathizers not interested in humanitarian goodwill. Israel claimed weapons were found on board and that the attacks on its soldiers were premeditated.
The organizers are well known for their ties to global jihad, Al-Qaeda and Hamas. They have a history of arms smuggling and deadly terror. On board the ship, we found weapons prepared in advance and used against our forces. The organizers' intent was violent, their method was violent, and the results were unfortunately violent.
But those statements go against preparations made by the flotilla's organizers and the images captured by international journalists who for weeks had monitored and inspected the crew and cargo on board before setting sail from European ports.
This is outrageous. We were in international waters. Somewhere along the line, the world has got to stop Israel. It's becoming a pit bull. We are in international waters. Israel has no right to attack a civilian ship in international waters.
In Gaza, condemnation was swift and severe from the deposed government demanding the international community act and punishing the Israeli breach of international maritime law.
We call on the United Nations to withdraw from the quartet. The quartet is the one who took the decision to impose the siege on Gaza. The United Nations is responsible for the protection and safety of the Palestinian people.
No contact has been made with the detained members of the flotilla, which include international activists, prominent political leaders, and foreign journalists. Their exact whereabouts and fate are unknown, and Israel has not provided journalists with access to their version of events, raising fears that while Israel's raid may be over, anger could be just beginning inside Israel and around the world. Ayman Mohiuddin, Al Jazeera, West Jerusalem.
Ask me how it is that I dare to take a side. You say I loathe myself, pointing out you have lied. You say it's tribal warfare, but I disagree, for the dynamics of the situation are not difficult to see. On the one side is the fighter jet, on the other is the stone. On the one side is the slave, on the other is the throne. For the many there are checkpoints, while foreign soldiers rule the streets. For the one side there is victory, but the people don't accept defeat. The word you need to know is occupation, the very definition of a land without a nation. And if peace is what you're after, then let us not deceive. It'll come on the day the tanks return to Tel Aviv. On the one side there is hunger and bulldozed olive trees. On the other is the army, ruling by decrees. Caterpillars maul the streets, destroy whole city blocks, while children swallow shrapnel for the crime of throwing rocks. Fences are erected around the towns they flatten, and hurt some fanatics
sleep on sheets of satin, and they water their plantations, drilling ever deeper wells, while the displaced children of the hopeless are filled with bullet shells. The word you need to know is occupation, the very definition of a land without a nation. And if peace is what you're after, then let us not deceive. It'll come on the day the settlers return to Tel Aviv. Rounding up the men, thrown in jail with no trial, being tortured once again. On the other there is rage, helplessness and fear, and a growing realization that another Holocaust is near. On the outside there are prisons, inside detainees, being stripped of their humanity, beaten naked to their knees. Outside the ghetto walls, stormtroopers all around, while inside the hungry people yearn for liberated ground. The word you need to know is occupation, the very definition of a land without a nation. And if peace is what you're after, then let us not deceive. It'll come on the day the jail guards return to Tel Aviv. Say the children of Jerusalem will be free one day. In overcrowded camps amidst the stench of death and flies to the suburbs of Detroit, you can hear the anguish cries. While in the land of Israel, with God ever on their side, walls and fences are constructed, papers are denied. People fight for their existence while we turn a blinded eye, and those who should know better insist on asking why. The words you need to know is occupation, very definition of a land without a nation. And if peace is what you're after, then let us not deceive. It will come on the day the refugees return to Tel Aviv.
Many in the international community are now pushing for an independent inquiry and legal action against Israel. French President Nicolas Sarkozy has become the latest leader to call for an inquiry, saying it needs to be partial, credible and transparent. He's suggesting it be carried out by the UN or Red Cross. Israel is maintaining that the operation was legal. Let's put that to the international legal expert, Mark Ellis. Mark, was this legal?
Well, the prima facie evidence that's coming out would suggest that it is not, was not legal. It depends a bit on exactly where the vessels were under the international law, particularly UN Convention on the Law of the Sea, and this would be part of the investigation that would have to be undertaken. But it's fairly clear under international law that vessels, particularly on the high sea, are subject to the jurisdiction of the flag state, and ordinarily they just simply cannot be boarded by anyone from a foreign naval ship. There are some exceptions, but those exceptions would not have applied based on the facts that we know to date. But this would be part, I believe, of the investigation that needs to take place.
And if they are allowed to board the ship, so hearing what you are hearing and seeing the pictures that you've been seeing, do you think they conducted that boarding in an appropriate manner? Did their conduct on board fall into...
Well, I would, again, based on what I've seen, and this, again, would be part of the investigations to see exactly the type of defense that needed, or self-defense that Israel might suggest was needed. But, again, it comes back to the initial action that the Israeli military undertook, which, based on what we know now, would not have been legal under international law. This feeds back also, of course, to this blockade of Gaza that has been in existence for several years, that makes it even more complicated, because there are legal uncertainties of that, and there are, of course, criticisms that Israel is violating international law simply because of that blockade. And so this is unfortunately, has added to the perception that, again, Israel has violated international standards. But I'm cautious because I think it is very important to have a independent and very transparent investigation on all the facts, and then to ensure that those responsible are held accountable.
But Mark, can you have an independent and transparent investigation when Israel has been in possession of the ship for the last day and a half? They could have removed any evidence or distorted facts, or, you know, worse scenario. I mean, would that make an impact?
Well, I think it's a good point, because when even the Security Council's call for this prompt and impartial investigation, it's absolutely crucial, I think, to have this investigation conform to international standards. I would suggest that there should be international participants in any type of investigation, bring it out of the political realm that might exist down in Israel, and at a minimum include Israeli civil society actors, because it is without doubt true that in Israel you have a very strong civil society that actually has spoken out quite strongly about their concerns that this was illegal. So if the government can move forward with truly a independent investigation, and hopefully using some international players, then I think we can get a clearer picture exactly what's happened.
And Mark, briefly, if you will, I mean, look what happened to Judge Richard Goldstone when he investigated Israel and Gaza as well in the Gaza war. That was shunned. So really, what can be done if Israel is found to have broken international law?
Yeah, this is really the unfortunate nature of where we are in international law. There is still significant gaps in holding states and individuals accountable for violating international law. And this could very well be a similar incident that we witnessed in the Gaza incident, when, you're correct, the Goldstone Commission came out saying, rightfully so, that both parties had a responsibility to investigate and to bring account those who have violated international law. We know that that did not occur on either side, and it's likely not to occur this time unless the international community can continue to push for this independent, transparent, credible investigation. There's not 100% guarantee that that will happen, but I think the international community is speaking with a very strong voice that they expect Israel to do just that, independent, transparent, meeting international standards of an investigation.
Mark Ellis, always good to talk to you. Thanks.
Thank you.
Israel's deadly raid on an international aid convoy bound for Gaza. 9 people were killed, at least 4 of them from Turkey. Israel insists its commandos were acting in self-defense, but Tayyip Erdogan has called it a bloody massacre.
I am repeating it once again, even if everybody stays silent, even if everybody turns a blind eye on it, it doesn't matter. We, as Turkey, will never turn our back on Palestine and Gaza. We are not going to close our eyes, and we are not going to stop shouting out loud for Gaza.
Let's go straight to our correspondent in Ankara, Anita McNaught. Anita, a little earlier on, I saw pictures of you, a lot of people behind you. What's happening?
Well, you've missed by seconds another demonstration, one of about 4 that have happened today, 2 major ones and then a stream of smaller ones. This was an interesting one because it was a group of leftists and youth organizations, and it really gives the lie to Israeli allegations that what happened in the waters off the coast of Gaza, who was behind this Turkish initiative to bring aid to Gaza, was some kind of sinister conspiracy behind Islamic groups. What you see here in Turkey is an across-the-board support for what's been happening, for efforts to break the siege in Gaza. And if I can give you some sense of what these people are saying, they're saying things like, killer Israel, killer United States, get out of the Middle East, we are all Palestinian. And more tellingly for the Prime Minister Erdogan, who has done so much to stamp his mark and differentiate himself from the dramas of the last few days. They're saying Prime Minister Erdogan stopped showing off, cut relations with Israel. So here you have a group of young, very westernized Turks, educated Turks, most certainly not the Turks that have been portrayed as being the ones behind the Gaza flotilla, who are themselves showing absolute solidarity with the efforts to help the Palestinians.